Okay, so, welcome to the Twilight Court. My name's John Ward, and I'm the producer of tonight's show. Now, you've had a chance to look at the programme. First thing we're going to have is Podge Dorian, legal eagle par excellence, just telling us a few stories about the good old days around here. Then we're going to have the Twilight Court, which lasts about an hour. And then, special guest, Shanaki Eddie Lennon. Okay? So, I hope you enjoy it. Bear with us. Things will go wrong. But plenty of heckling, plenty of audience participation, and enjoy yourself. Okay? So, I'll introduce Podge Dorian.
Well, how are you, Podge? I bet you there's many as a person would have loved to get you where I've got you now, on the witness box. As you all know, Podge is one of the most senior and eloquent lawyers in the county, if not the entire country. And the court case itself isn't to be taken too serious. But it may very well be the last court case that we're going to have here in Cairn in this fantastic building. But to add a wee bit of gravitas, maybe Podge might tell us about some of the stories over the years that he has come across from various witnesses or judges or barristers or what have you. Podge, this is all yours.
Thank you very much. First time I bring this witness box, but I'm safe enough. I see Denny over in the jury box. He's on the jury. I'll be all right. when I came to Cantona first, you know, we had M.D. White, if you go up to him, because that's him, and Paddy Doherty, both of those had offices on the diamond here. And I came in and I also opened an office once a week on the diamond. And my first appearance in Cardona Court then, and I won a particular case, and after that, Tommy Tully of the hotel on Saturday night, to stir things up, I suppose, MD was in, he said to the people in the bar, he said, there was a great case on there last Tuesday over in the courthouse. That Dorian fellow was doing it. And you know what? I hear he's the best solicitor in the county.
Can't hear.
So then Tommy went on and he said, as well as that, he said, Paddy Doherty will be the second best solicitor in the county. What have you to say to that, MD? And MD said, well, all I know is I'm the best solicitor in the diamond.
Well, fair play to God rest MD now. He was never stuck for a story, Podge. Even the wee cars that used to be on the table there, and the way he could put the stories across. And was that an affectation? Has been any chance with the shuffling of the papers, or was he just maybe a bit careless? Because there's many a time Larkin would have had the glasses down about there, wondering, you know, Mr. White, will you hurry up and get on with the case? Have you any interesting stories about MD?
Well, I suppose the most famous one was the late Pat O'Donnell came along with two cars. There was an accident in Mallon. And he was illustrating to the court, you see, how this accident happened. And of course, Pat was putting his own twist in it. So MD came back after lunch and he had two cars. It was a red car and a blue car, but he had substituted the red one for the blue one. And Pat lost the case over it because MD was in the right on that occasion. But in Mallon at that time, you see, we used to have a court out in Mallon in the afternoon. And at that time, Mallon, the sergeant in Mallon, or the Mallon Garda Station, was the apprenticeship for new guards, you know. And it was known all over the county as being, you know, you had to serve some time in Mallon before you went on to anywhere else. And the sergeant in Mallon, there was a particular incident happened out in Glengad, and part of the evidence in the case would have been a lock of hair. So these two apprentice Gardaí were there anyway, and just when the surgeon was starting to explain
how they proceeded, you know, to preserve the exhibit. He had a big sheet of blotting paper that had to be taped onto the blotting paper, and then it had to be put into two envelopes and sent to Dublin. But just as they were moving the paper, somebody opened the door and the evidence was blown away. So when I was a surgeon, he carried on and he explained how it was taped onto this and was put into an envelope. The envelope was sealed and the surgeon had to sign it and the two guards had to sign it. And then the surgeon had to complete another form, and that envelope and that form went into the registered envelope. You remember it was a big envelope with black lines on it. It had to go into this envelope anyway. And then the surgeon had to get the sealing wax, and he softened the sealing wax and he sealed the paper, and the two guards again had to sign at the back of it. And one young guard said to him, he said, "Time be this surgeon," he said, "what's the point in going through all this when the evidence is missing? It's lost." And the surgeon said, "Son, you're down here to get experience. You're going to another station. The first thing you have to learn is this. If the evidence is going to go missing, it's not going to go missing in Ballin." Came going missing in Dublin. Well, the judge came up here from Cork, and he didn't know very much about them. I suppose he wouldn't be as conversant with the travelling community as, you know, we had quite a number of travellers round about Donegal, the travelling community. But the late Willie McGinley, who was the king of the travellers, he was up on a certain charge that had to go on to the circuit court, but it had gone to the district court first. Judge Clifford took a very serious view in a way of the case, and he said, "Yes, I'm going to release him on bail of £5,000, which was an unheard of amount at that stage, and there's no hope of William McGinley ever having £5,000. And he says, "If you have anything to say to that, Mr. McGinley?" "I have, Judge." "What is it?" "Will you take a traveller's check?"
Was there any deep
tempt the court there? No. He was allowed out, mind you, on bail, but on a bond at that stage. The judge had to start laughing himself.
Now, I don't want to ask you any tricks of the trade, you know, for not being any way legal minded myself, but I've often noticed you yourself now, but I'm afraid to put you in the spot, but you usually, when you've got the judge and they've interviewed both sets, you've cross-examined and whatnot, and everybody has more or less hung themselves, if you like, or made their statement. And I've often seen where you throw back the robe, you lift your foot up on this chair, am I on the right track, and all of a sudden, and you balance your elbow on your knee, and you just throw a spanner straight into the works. Is that deliberate? Or you just could refuse to answer me?
I know, it doesn't really work that way, you know. At times something will come up in the course of a hearing and you see that there's a piece of evidence missing, or they open a door that they shouldn't open, you know. Mm-hmm. But you have to wait until the proper occasion arises to... They have to finish their case before you can raise the point, you know. So it's not really... any solicitor will do it, you know, when they spot it, you know. It's...
Yeah, it's just that I
just
thought...
Just find the loophole at the right time.
That all of a sudden you usually thought when you saw Podge Dorian putting the robe back and putting the foot up in the chair, you thought, now, he's won the case, or he's just...
Bluffing.
You know, I'm sure John Ward's probably given me all sorts of nervous looks now, you know, but have you anything that you could sort of send as a sort of send the play away with laughing, just so we wind up and then let the relactors get at it?
Well, I suppose I think it would be wrong to you know, it's grand to see the courthouse back in action again, you know. The at one stage this is one of the few courthouses that had planning permission, you know.
You were famous for getting something like 20,000 people off scot-free. That was never heard of before. Can you tell us about that before we...
Well, what really happened was that there was a particular case on in Milford, and there was no other way out other than the fact that I became aware that there was no planning permission for Milford Courthouse. So I said to the judge, when he had made his decision, I'm sorry, Judge, but, you know, really, you have no jurisdiction here because there's no planning permission, and how can you enforce the law in this premises when it hasn't any planning permission? You're breaking the law yourself. And the county council are here, and they know that there's no planning permission. So anyway, it was adjourned. The county council came back and said they didn't need planning permission. Judge Fitzpatrick said, you better go back and check that again. And then they had to come back and said that they were going to apply for planning permission. With the result that all the cases that day had to be, he had made no valid order. And down the west of Ireland, all the courthouses had to close. There were only four courthouses in the county that had planning permission. One of them was Carndonagh, the other was Glenties, and the third one was Donegal Town. The rest of them hadn't got planning permission. So there was chaos for a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah. I remember reading it at the time, you know, the figure of 22,000 cases being thrown out, would that be an exaggeration or near the truth? Or does anybody know?
I think it was something around 28,000.
Well, right. That's probably one now for the Guinness Book of Records. There's hardly another lawyer in the world who has managed to, on one day alone, just to get 28,000 cases.
Well, I don't think that that's so, because you know, in reality, if a constitutional point or a major point arises, the courts have to close down. The difficulty is that once that situation arises, the court can't adjourn the cases, so they go into limbo, and they can't be resurrected. You know, limbo, no return from limbo.
Right, so, Podge, I really have to thank you for coming along tonight to add, maybe to add a sense to what the people are going to see afterwards now. I'd like a round of applause for Podge, please.